You know, I was thinking about this morning about how great a God is that we serve. And, you know, just a simple fact about this day, this Sabbath day, proves just that point about how wonderful and great a God is that we serve. Are you having a good Sabbath? Are you having a great Sabbath? How about the best Sabbath? If not, if you would like to, so I can, I guess, use this term, buckle up and ride along, because I've got some suggestions for you. I know we've heard people talk about this before, this story that I'm going to tell you about, my own personal experience. But, you know, when I was a child, there was still service stations. And I'm sure many of you in here remember service stations. We know them now today as gas stations. But when I was growing up as a child, it was a service station. An attendant would check your oil, your tires, clean your windshield, check the water in your battery, all while he was pumping gas for you. When he was finished, he would take your money and return with the change, all while you waited in the comfort of your car. It didn't matter whether if you were rich or poor, young or old, you received the same courteous service. Now, brethren, today things are different. There's no denying that this world's attitude towards serving or service and helping others has changed. More and more, we live in an age where serving others is a dying practice. The focus is on me or self more so. And the value of serving others is given way to, well, who's going to serve me? You don't necessarily have to turn there. It's just one scripture. But I'm going to start off in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And in verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, serve, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Sadly, the idea of serving others is losing ground everywhere. And in some cases, even within the churches. Some people feel that, well, I'm serving God if I just show up. Others come with a mindset that's opposed to serving and that are actually looking to be served. They're conditioned by culture. They want to know, what can the church do for me? How about over at John? Let's look over in chapter John for a minute, because actually, who is the best example about living a life of service? Let's turn to John, chapter 13. Well, you know, we read this every year at Passover. John chapter 13, there in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end. Supper being ended, and devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. So in verse 4 there, it says, now he rose from supper, and he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wash them with the towel which he was girded. Verse 6 there says, then he cometh to Simon Peter. We all know this, right? And Peter said to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Now, I think we could all relate with this. Is that right? I mean, if Jesus Christ come to you, it'd be like, this is not the way it should go, right? I should be washing your feet. I should be drying your feet with, well, I'd like to say my hair. But you get the idea, right? I can relate to this. But Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt hereafter. Peter said unto him, Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, what did he say? Thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said, okay, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Christ was actually driving at a point here, wasn't he? He's taking this opportunity. He knew what was coming. He was taking this last opportunity to teach once again, serve. So if you want a title for today's message, it's How to Serve. Verse 11 there said, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. In verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. Now, I've asked this question before, and it's just really just for reference, not that you need to do it or not, but I've asked this question before. Has anyone here ever washed anybody else's feet outside of the church? You know, think about the humble service there. You know, it's certainly all of it that's there for Passover. And there's meaning behind that humble service. And that's what I want to really talk about today as we go through this. I want you to keep in mind about foot washing and serving others, putting others before us. Let me ask a question here. It's kind of one thing I was thinking about this morning. Since we're on the subject of serving, I don't know where everybody's going to the feast, but wherever it is you've chosen to go to the feast, are you planning on serving? Have you contacted maybe the organizer, the coordinator, thank you. For St. Pete, it's Morgan. Or, you know, Larry, they're basic, I guess you'd call them, they're co-hosting. Have you contacted them and say, you know, I'm going to be there, I'm willing to do whatever you want? I'm willing to serve? Because if you really want to have a great feast, serve. It's the same way with here at church for Sabbath. You really want to have a great Sabbath? Serve. Serve. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are if you do them. Now, you know, brethren, this whole time Jesus Christ was in full control. We know the night that Christ was captured, right? We've read it many, many times. We know what's going on. We know the history there. Christ was captured. The servant of the high priest had his ear cut off. But yet the whole time this was going on, Jesus Christ knew that he was going to be crucified. He could have stopped the whole process at any time. Why did he not? Matthew 26. Matthew 26, there in verse 53, it simply reads, just what I was talking about. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Anybody know how many 12 legions of angels are? You want to know how many that is? Enough. Enough. Because I guarantee you it wouldn't even been a football game. It would have been done, over with. I'm sorry, what was that? 72,000. 72,000. Okay, I'll take that. 72,000. It would have been enough. It would have been enough for him to say enough. But instead, he chose to continue to serve. Why? Why? To prove a point. He also did this because he loves you. How many people do you know, or do I know, who would allow themselves to be crucified just for the sake of others? Because remember, Jesus Christ had never sinned. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for you and me with love. So that makes me think of a question, brother. When we serve, should we do that out of love? Look at 1 Corinthians 13 for a moment. We know it as the love chapter, but I think it really drives the point home here. First Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, just making racket. I like this next one. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge. Wow. And if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all of my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I've gained nothing. Christ taught us a valuable lesson about serving. What else did he tell Peter? There in John, let's look at something there. John chapter 21. John chapter 1 and verse 15 there. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Was he talking about livestock here? No. Is this a way we can serve, brethren? Can we feed the lambs? And can we help? Can we have a little, I think we've got a little bit of a food bank here, but I'm not sure who's actually in charge. Maybe nobody's in charge. Maybe we need somebody in charge. But that's a way we can serve. I'm going to try and give you some different examples today. Verse 16, and Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Once again, Jesus replied, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch forth your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And in verse 19, he says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death in which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as well as we go through. Follow me. Let me tell you a story that I've told before. But it's where I too had learned something about serving. It was at the feast, matter of fact, here in St. Pete, Pinellas Park. I went there and, I try and make sure I tell people I'll serve whatever you need. Well, I was told, okay, well, we need people for parking lot duty. Okay, you realize it's hot out there, right? Yeah, I'm human, you know. So they're parking lot duty. So I dress for it. Remember, I put it on myself. I try and make sure I put a T-shirt on because there's usually always a breeze in Florida. So even if it's that breeze is 106 degrees, you know, there's usually always a breeze. And then, you know, an outer shirt. I had a hat on. And it was the first day of the feast. And I'll never forget the first day of the feast. You know how people are always excited? They're glad to be at the Feast of Tabernacles. They made it all year long. They're glad to be there. So the excitement is there. And I was like the greeter. When you come turned into the facility there, I was standing there to help, you know, guide you the right way. Because we were expecting a lot of people at that feast site this particular year. And so we were concerned about people getting confused about where to park and, you know, everything. So that's what I was there to do, is to tell people, you know, where they needed to park. And it was really a neat experience because, like I said, people were excited to be there. I even talked to people that weren't going there for the feast. They were going there for, I think it was a little school or something right out front, if I remember correctly. Is that right? Some people were going over there, but they were learning a little bit about the feast because I was stopping them and waving them and talking to them briefly. But what I remember the most about all that, though, was the day of love that I experienced. People would tell me, well, you know, I usually always park up there close in the handicapped places, but I feel really good today. Where can I park and leave that space for someone else? And I was told that time and time again. And it really made my day. It really made my day because I could see the love of people wanting to help serve others in the church by leaving them that spot up close that really needed it more than they did today. So like I said at the beginning, my first thought about parking lot duty, the feast was, whew, boy, it's going to be hot out there. But I walked away with joy. I walked away with joy. I'll never forget the experience. I mean, clearly there is joy and blessing in serving the Lord, right? By serving others. We know this. Turn with me to Philippians. Chapter 2. And there, beginning in verse 3, says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." I think that needs to be my motto. "Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." So, brethren, what happens when we serve? We should find joy. Peter makes it clear that when we receive our gifts from God, there's a couple purposes there. It's to serve others and to bring praise to God. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. And there in verse 10, it says, "Each of you should use whatever." You notice that? "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others." Now, I understand sometimes it's an issue for some, and I'm going to address this as well. I understand that. "As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do this with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Brethren, why should we serve? Well, it can be just as simple as this. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came to serve, to be a servant. And when we claim to be a Christian, when we claim that we're following Jesus Christ, we're claiming that we're serving. Is that not part of Christianity, to serve others? Many times it seems to come up, how can I serve? And because of that question, and it goes nowhere, nothing happens. And I understand that as well. But sometimes the simplest way is, if you see something, take care of it. And I'm not just speaking to everyone in this room. I'm giving a general message here. I'm hoping many people are hearing this. It just so happens you're here today. I spoke to Wynn earlier, and he said, "What are you speaking about?" I said, "How to serve." First response out of his mouth, "Well, Christ certainly gave us that as a task, didn't he?" He's out in New Mexico today, speaking, by the way. I told him, just remember, Andrew reminded me, I said, "Just remember, when you're in Albuquerque, make a left turn." Bugs Bunnies, he said, "I knew I should have made a left turn back there in Albuquerque." But sometimes the easiest way is just, if you see something, take care of it. And if you're not sure what to do, what you see, ask. This church is full of God's children. This is God's church. We need to take care of it. We've been graced with this. I know many times we have potlucks and such. How about the cleanup afterwards? Is that a serve? Absolutely. What about when you bring stuff? Is that a serving the church? Absolutely. Many times we're seeing the same people doing the same thing. If nothing else, if you can't think of anything else, why don't you just ask them to take their place? If you're still unsure, ask me, Larry, Morgan. I know he's not here today. He's got other things going on, but I can assure you one thing. When he's not here, he's usually serving somewhere. Like it was said earlier in the announcements, he's supposed to be all the way up there in Montgomery to be with that group up there. A lot of times he's in St. Pete or other places around serving God's people. Pam, our deaconess, you can ask her. She's always got lots of great ideas. Maybe your answer is just to come up, you don't know what to do, and just say, hey, I'm volunteering for whatever you need, whenever you need it. In other words, you can say, hey, I'll be a huckleberry. Be willing to serve. Just let the people know. So that way the next event, whatever it may be, comes up, there'll be plenty of people to help out with whatever may come up. Serving the church, serving people, is serving God. It's one way we, you and I, can show our love. So let us never forget that finding joy in serving God is an essential part of our Christianity, because it serves as an antidote to all the despair that surrounds us on a daily basis. Let the joy of serving the Lord be your strength. You ever pray for more strength? Let the joy of serving the Lord be your strength today, tomorrow, every day. Choose to serve the Lord. It's just a short message I've got today, so I've got one final message, or one final verse. And it's found in Joshua 24. I look over and my wife is mouthing it back to me. She already knows where I'm going. You probably do too. It's just one verse, Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And you all know the rest of this. You can repeat it with me if you like. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May God be with you all.